Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, knowledge of the absolute, text number 28. Yesham tvandakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandvama nirmukta bhajante mam drida vrataha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful activities are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Srila Prabhupada's purport, those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regular principles of religion, who have acted piously, who have conquered sinful reaction, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of becoming situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. All the devotees of the Lord transverse this earth just to reclaim the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. And thus, when it is reinstated in its own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in His transcendent loving service with determination. Yesham tvandakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandvamoha nirmuktva bhajante mam drida vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. First lecture I ever heard Srila Prabhupada give, first thing he said is that in this material world, there are only two activities. One is we're hankering after what we don't have, and the other is we're lamenting over what we lost. And sometimes we lament over what we gained, too. And we hope to lose it. In any case, those are the only two activities that are going on in the material world. And they, according to how much we're hankering and how much we're lamenting, we're considered to be in one mode of material nature or the next. For instance, those who are in the mode of ignorance, they're always lamenting. And they can fall into two categories. One is the Shudra. And what are they lamenting about? That they're always suffering. And why are they always suffering? Because they're always engaged in sinful activities. Or we could say the Mudhas, as explained here, those who are foolish, they're always suffering because they always do the wrong thing. They eat too much or they eat too little. They sleep too much or they sleep too little. Everything they do causes them problems. And the Shudra, he knows that whatever he does causes him problems, so he tries to take shelter of people who may give him some good advice or engage him in activity which is, will not cause so much problems for himself or others. Similarly, those who are pious as explained in this verse, pious, what is pious? Pious means taking care of the cows. The civilizations that don't protect cows are demoniac. Who don't protect the cows, and what to speak of the people? Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. That Krishna, he has two businesses, protecting the Brahmins and protecting the cows. The Kshatriyas are supposed to protect the Brahmins, and the Vaishyas are supposed to protect the cows. And any civilization where there is no cow protection, it's not a human civilization. What to speak of, there are no Brahmins to protect. And even if there were, they wouldn't be protected anyhow. So that's not civilization. That's a civilization of sinful, foolish, deceitful, and atheistic people. More or less describes modern so-called civilization. And therefore, they're always in duality. And what is that duality? Everyone thinks they have a different interest. And what is that different interest? Everyone thinks my body is the absolute interest in life. And I expand it to my family or to my community or to my country. But everyone, ultimately, I love my country, but I hate the one next door. I love my family, at least some members of it, especially my dog. So this duality means I love someone, I hate someone else. Matter of fact, we don't even know that we're in Slovenia unless we know that there were some other countries besides Slovenia. If everyone was Slovenian in this world, there wouldn't be any prestige of being Slovenian. Of course, how much prestige is there being in a country? Generally, we think our country is nice. Whatever it is, there's something special about it. We may not be big, but we're beautiful. We have a lot of trees. Something's nice about it. We're the planet of trees. So this is called duality. And where does that duality come from? In the previous verse, Krishna says, Ichcha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoham sargeyanti parantapa. That all the duality is generally coming from two things. As I said, we were hankering. But what is everyone hankering for? We want to become God. Maybe not the big God. We'd like to become the big God, but that takes a lot of practice. We just want to become a little God. We just want a little kingdom where I'm God. Every mouse wants to be God in their little house. So wherever whoever we are, we have our kingdom. I'm the lord of my house. I'm the king of the house. My wife is the goddess of fortune. My kids are all plenary or partial expansions. The intelligent children are plenary expansions. And the ones who are not so intelligent, they're partial expansions. My car is my Garuda. So everyone is imagining somehow or another, I am the Lord. And they're hankering to become a bigger and better Lord. And we're lamenting the fact that it doesn't work. There was one hunter, he was killing people, actually an assassin, he was killing people to make money for his family. So he met Narada Muni one day, and Narada Muni said, don't you realize how much sinful reactions you're going to get for this horrible business that you're in? He said, yes, but my family loves me, I must make some money for them. Narada Muni said, all right, let's see how much your family really loves you. So, I'm going to go to them and you tell them that my dear wife, I'm doing so many simple activities to you, surely I'm going to go to hell. I'm doing it because I love you. So please, because I know you love me, please take half my sinful reactions. So he went to his wife and said, my dear wife, I'm doing all these sinful activities out of love for you. Please take half my sinful reactions. There's no way. Get lost. I take the money, you get their sinful reactions. Being a little disappointed, he went to his children and said, my dear sons and daughters, I'm doing so many sinful activities to provide for you. Please take some of my sinful reactions. And his children said, get lost, Dad. Get a life. So then he went to his dog. He said, my dear dog, you're the most faithful in the house. I know you love me. You wag your tail every time you see me. Please take some of my sinful reactions. And then the dog bit him. That's the end. I'm leaving. So everyone is in this role of imagining that this is my kingdom, these are my subjects, they love me, they'll protect me, and it's all just one illusion, as explained here. That this is my interest, my family is my interest, and that other family is not my interest. This country is my interest, and the other countries are not so much my interest. So this is because we're an illusion. That's dvanva. And what is that illusion? Because we're hankering and lamenting, that's all. That's the only reason. And because we're hankering, those who help fulfill our hankering, they become my friends. You can give me something. You can give me at least a little praise. If you can't give me anything else, then you're my friend. As I said when I was distributing books in the airport, it's so simple to distribute a book. People walk by, and if you try to stop them, you say, you know, are you from Ljubljana or out of town? That may be one of the lines, and people say, oh, I heard that a million times, get lost, try to sell me a book. But if someone's walking by, you say, wow, look at those shoes, they're fantastic. And they go, you know, my name is so-and-so, and because you praise them, wow, look at that shirt. If you tell them something that's on them or something about them that you think is fantastic and you're enthusiastic about, they said, finally, someone has recognized me. I've been wearing the shirt for 10 years waiting for someone to say something. You're my friend. Hey, man, we're together. That's it. Forever, forever. So people are just looking to be recognized for something. And if you're in the same, if you're enthusiastic about the same thing as everyone else, as others, then you become one with them. You become united with them. Imagine going to a football game here in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, and it's against Croatia. And every time you're in the middle of the Slovenian crowd, and every time Croatia scores a goal, you go, yay! They probably grab you and make you into one of those balls and throw you out into the field. So people want to know that you're one with them, that you're in harmony with them, that you have the same objective, the same thing, the same idea that you're going to work together to lord it over the material nature cooperatively. You're going to have the same objects of enjoyment. And everyone else is your enemy. So that's the whole summary of material existence. Those who are my friends, those who are giving me things, giving me a little prestige, those who are on the same team, they're my friends, and everyone else is my enemy. And on the basis of that, we have all these different relationships. And anyone who looks, anyone who reminds me of someone who's my friend, they become my friend. And anyone who reminds me of someone who's my enemy, they become my enemy. And the enemies of my enemies are my friends. And the friends of my enemies are my enemies. There's whole countries in South America. When you go there, you have to learn what is the history of relationships. Like Peru, they got into a war with Ecuador. But I think also other countries like Argentina got into wars with Ecuador, so Peru and Argentina are friends, but Peru got into a war also with Chile, so Chile and Ecuador are friends because they both have the same enemy, Peru, but Peru is an enemy of Chile and Ecuador. So that's the whole life. And on the basis of that, that's called history, history of Europe. One country rolled over. I guess Slovenia has been part of so many different empires. I don't think it's... When we went to the parliament, they have these murals on the wall explaining about the history of Slovenia, how this country smashed it, and then that country smashed it. Then they came up, they were free for a few years, and they got smashed. But they fought back every time they get smashed. But they rose again, and now they're part of the European Union, so life is good. So these are all due to the different degrees of sinful activities. Like, for instance, it says here that those who are foolish, they're most sinful. Those who are sinful are sinful. Those who are deceitful, they're sinful, even more sinful. Or less sinful, whatever how you would. And those who are atheistic, they're the most sinful. Well, like different degrees of sin. And how to get out of it? First of all, regulate sinful activities. And the most sinful activity is to think that we're something other than God's servant, than Krishna's servant. So without religion, there is no such thing as piety, actually. Piety begins when people believe that they're actually God's servant, and they try to regulate their activities, especially their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Or the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. Unless one is regulated, those who are religious are those who are regulating those activities. Because those are the manifestations of lording it over the material nature to the greatest degree. Especially killing animals. Is such a greatly sinful activity, especially killing the cows. Krishna, he is the protector of the cows, and he's God, whether people like it or not. The Supreme Lord, in his original feature, what he does all day is killing cows. And what people are, the most sinful people, are those who are spending the whole day killing them. So if one claims to be religious, and religion means to follow the orders of God, if one is doing the exact opposite of what Krishna or God is doing, then they're the most sinful. And if they're sinful, then their consciousness becomes covered by illusion and they can't understand anything properly. They can't even understand they can't understand God, they can't understand their position as a soul, they can't understand the laws of karma. Just like they had that picture of that you probably saw the diorama where the butcher is about to cut off the head of the cow, and the cow is the face of the man, and the man has the face of the cow, which means only time separates them from reversing their roles. So they can't understand anything. Their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. Just like our intelligence is also taken away by illusion. So we think to more or less greater or lesser extent that we're this body. To more or less extent we actually believe we're members of this country or that we're male or female. So these are all products of illusion, but because we're engaged in Krishna's service, therefore this illusion has slackened to some degree or another. It's not as intense. If someone comes up to us and says, we're not this body, we won't get all disturbed and say, how dare you insult me? And if someone says, if you're in the bodily concept of life, you're fool number one. And everyone in the material world is more or less tied for first place. we won't get upset. But if you go on the street and you hand someone a book and say, my dear sir, do you know you're fool number one? And your wife is fool number one tied with you. And why, they may ask, if they don't hit you? Because you're in the Bali concept of life, therefore you don't know anything. No, actually, Prabodhananda Swami Maharaj said, when you go on the street, you tell everyone, my dear sir, you're the most intelligent person I've met today. I haven't met anyone intelligent. No, you're the most intelligent, you're the most powerful, you're the most beautiful, you have the nicest family, you're the greatest. And then people think, wow, I finally met some intelligent person on the street. And then you give them a book, you sell it to them. And what you're really saying is, my dear sir, you're the greatest fool I've met. But somehow or another, you got this book, so please read it and give up all your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his service. But if you say that directly, people will get insulted, and we won't actually be able to help them or help ourselves. Therefore, somehow or another, engage people in Krishna service. And here it says, by getting them to chant Hare Krishna. Because if they chant Hare Krishna, then and you give them some prasadam especially, some nice prasadam, some good association, then gradually their taste for sinful activities will diminish. And when they do that, then they'll like prasadam. They'll like nice curd, sabjis, and they'll like samosas and bakur. They'll become pious. That's the symptom of a pious person. He likes prasadam. When Prabhupada came to the West, he was actually quite concerned. He thought, he was wondering, not so much if they're going to chant Hare Krishna, he was worried about whether they liked prasadam or not. And he was quite surprised how much they liked it. There's one boy, Straydish, in 26 Second Avenue, and he just wouldn't eat. Probably couldn't get him to eat. So his mother came to the storefront. They were living in the storefront, sleeping on the floor there. And Prabhupada wanted Straydish to stay there. Straydish wanted to stay there too. But his mother said, he can stay here if you feed him. He actually eats. So Prabhupada said, I'll personally feed him. So Prabhupada every day fed Straydish. And first he convinced him to eat one chapati. And he ate it. And he liked it. So he ate two chapatis. And then three. Then five. And ten. And when he got up to 25, Prabhupada said, that's the limit. So, by eating prasadam, one became pious. And the taste for prasadam increased. Maybe not so much for the holy name, but at least for prasadam. So prasadam means piety. Unless one is pious, one will not have a taste for prasadam. Even Ari Muni claims that developed a taste for hearing about Krishna because he ate prasadam given to him by the saintly persons. And then the next thing is that one will conquer sinful reactions. When one gets little knowledge, then every time one gets an impulse to do something, one will have some superior intelligence that will prevent one from doing that. Because one has heard from the Brahmins and has taken it seriously and has applied that in organizing one's life. So that's called conquering sinful reactions. It's not that the sinful reactions don't come, but that one doesn't fall a victim to them. He doesn't, or as it says, kamakami, he doesn't strive to fulfill sinful desires. And then, one can actually engage in devotional service, real devotional service, which comes after one gives up hankering lamentation and begins to treat everyone as Krishna's servant. Then after that, from the stage of nishtha up into the stage of root of asakti, then one gets more and more experience of Krishna. One learns more and more directly, associates with Krishna. And finally at the stage of bhava and prema, one falls in love with Krishna and thinks about him, meditates upon him in pure love. So this is the process that's explained here, and it's the process by which, in the beginning, it's difficult to give up our hankering lamentation, but if we regulate our life and avoid sinful activities, then gradually we'll get a taste for prasadam, and then for when the tongue is conquered, then for the holy name, and then we can rise up to the platform where we're not so reactive to our circumstances. We can maintain steadily thinking about Krishna. And then we can accept doing things purely for Krishna's service, to please him. And then we can experience how wonderful Krishna is and eventually fall deeply in love with him. And why to do that? That's explained in the next verse. What's the advantage of doing that besides to live eternally in bliss and knowledge? The next verse will explain, Jirana Marana Mokshaya Mam Ashitya Tandiye. One of the first impetuses we have to take up the process of devotional service is that it helps us avoid old age, disease, and death, and then having to take birth again. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that without understanding the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease, then there's no impetus to make advancement in spiritual life. So most of us are not here because every time we hear Hare Krishna, our sikha or our hair stands on end. One of the reasons, at least partially, is we know that this material world is miserable, and it could even become more miserable than it already is, and our life could become even more inauspicious if we get the wrong birth in our next lifetime. Therefore, on one side, there's pressure to avoid sinful activities, to avoid the possibility of falling into the depths, into the whirlpool of material existence, forget our identity for a long, long time. And the other side is the opportunity to make advance in devotional service, eventually become free from all our problems, all our speculations, to become tolerant, to become devotional, to experience Krishna as he actually is, how wonderful he is, and eventually to fall in love with someone forever. And that love only develops more and more eternally, because everything becomes more and more wonderful at every moment. I don't think anyone here would complain if you got into an existence, and at every moment everything became more and more wonderful. You think, well, this is getting boring, it's just too wonderful. So that's what Prabhupada explained. He explained they had this suite called Simply Wonderfuls. You heard of Simply Wonderfuls? So that was our only suite, believe it or not, at the beginning. It was found on the back of a carnation powdered milk package. You add powdered milk with butter and powdered sugar and make it into balls. And that was our sweet. So devotees were wondering whether it was a bona fide sweet. And they asked Prabhupada one day, and they said, are these simply wonderful bona fide? So Prabhupada tasted them, and he said that actually this process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful. And the devotees here are all wonderful, simply wonderful. And your Krishna is simply wonderful. So just keep on eating these simply wonderfuls and everything will be simply wonderful. So that's our philosophy. All right, thank you very much. Radharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. So now we have the Dhammarasika prayers. Or any questions? I have a question. Are there any questions? I had the first question. Yes. Here's the microphone.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I was just wondering when you mentioned hankering and lamentation, so how can we like protect to the highest extent possible that hankerings and lamentation don't become too strong to drag us away from Krishna consciousness when in the beginning.
Careful associating with the opposite sex. As Charanika Pandit said, Matrivat Paradareshu, that we should treat every woman, except if we have a wife, to be just like our mother. And when you see other people's property, you should think it'd be like garbage in the street. And when you see other living beings, you should think that we're all spiritual beings, we're all servants of Krishna. And then, with that attitude, we shouldn't get into so much trouble. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned this Janmamriti Jaravyadhi, that realizing the evil of birth, death, old age and disease is part of knowledge, and you quoted the next verse, Jara Marana Mokshaya. So sometimes we hear that desiring freedom from birth and death is favorable desire in devotional service. On the other hand, we also do want to become free from the influence of illusion. So what's the proper position on this desire of liberation? Should we or should we not? Or what's the proper way to desire freedom from illusion, for example?
Well, we definitely want to get free from old age, disease, and death, and having to take birth again. That's definitely there. But if we become fully Krishna conscious, or we become Krishna conscious, then there is no more death. That there's no difference between being Krishna conscious and being liberated. So liberation and Krishna consciousness, they follow simultaneously. But as Prabhupada writes, there's no impetus to come to that platform unless we understand the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. So the devotee, sometimes he prays like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I don't mind if I have to take birth again and again, but I just want your devotional service. So if we have devotional service, then we won't mind. If we're just like Narayana Parasarve Kutaschana Vivyati Swaga Aparvarga Narakeshu Apituliyata Darshana. If we're actually fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, any of these, whether we go to hell, or go to liberated, or in heaven, makes no difference because we're actually living in the spiritual world. So somehow or another we want to live in the spiritual world, even if we have to live in the spiritual world while having to take another birth again. But it's living in the spiritual world we definitely hanker for, one way or the other. At least living on the spiritual platform. There's no advantage of living in the material platform whatsoever. There's no... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't ask, please maybe in Maya. No, he said, Ayananda Tanuja King Karam, put me as an atom at your lotus feet. So he didn't mind if he was an atom at lotus feet, even if he had to take birth again. But at least as he remained an atom at Krishna's lotus feet, even if he had to take birth again. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Just to continue on this topic, I heard that there was a story, please correct me if I'm wrong, that devotees would come to Prabhupada and say, Prabhupada, we just want to serve you life after life. And then Prabhupada would get serious and say, don't make your spiritual master take birth again, I mean, come again to this material world just to receive your service.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that, sure. Birth after birth. All right. Voila. Grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, ki jai.